Let's pray while we're standing again. Yes, Father, thank you. Thank you for saving our souls, Lord. Every one of us sitting here this morning who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we can sing that song from the depths of our being. Lord, if we cannot, we know it. If it's not reality, we know it. In the depth of our being, we know it. God, we just continue to trust this service into your care. You know, Lord, you know how to order all things after the counsel of your goodwill, your wise heart. So we trust, Lord, the further service, this message, Lord, to Thee. We trust this messenger, Lord, to Thee also. Have mercy upon him and us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I never grow tired of hearing how God in His mercy will chase after a soul and bring him to emptiness and nothingness that he might find true fulfillment in Christ. What a joy to hear that testimony this morning. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grateful for each one of you here this morning. Thank you for your willing hearts to come, to learn, to be taught, to fellowship together, to worship the Lord. These are all the reasons and many more why we're here today, isn't it? We might hear from the Lord. I'd like us this morning to open our Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to share with you this morning on this subject the wise and loving disciplines of the Lord. The wise and loving disciplines of the Lord. My desire and burden this morning is to present a positive view of the Lord's disciplines versus our typical natural view of troubles and trials. There are two views of that whole subject. We all know what troubles and trials are. We are all subject to them. How we view them is very important. So I would like to present a positive view of the Lord's disciplines in our lives. And my desire this morning is to be real, to preach out of the overflow of what God is doing in my own heart, the positive view of the Lord's disciplines in my own heart and my own life. So, I'm not preaching to you this morning, I'm preaching to me. And yet I do believe that you can also glean from the exhortation and the challenges that we find in the Word of God this morning. Because each and every one of us is subject to trials and temptations. Many times, I'm not sure if we see them as the loving disciplines of our faithful God. I think many times we see our circumstances, we see people, we see situations that we're facing, and we do not see the hand of God in them. I'm confessing my own need in that, not just exhorting you. But my desire this morning is to be accountable. My desire also is to be an encouragement to all of us that we can see the disciplines of the Lord from His perspective. When the Lord brings us low, do you know that term? The Lord does bring us low. From time to time, it's one of the most loving things that He can do is to bring us low. That is to bring our hearts low. That is to quiet our hearts. That is to quiet all of our reasonings. God, at times, brings us low. That can be on a personal level. That can be on the level of a family. Some of you as families, you know that. You know it experientially. We know it in our family. Not a few times when God, in His loving wisdom, chose to bring us low. It's the same in church, brothers and sisters. God, at times, brings His church to a low place. Oh, it's nice when everything is on the high place. It's nice when everything is just going wonderful. It's nice when we're flying high. It's nice when everybody's excited about everything going on. But if you get real honest with your own heart, we all have to acknowledge no clouds, no rain, no growth. We know that. So God, in His wisdom, He brings the church low. God, in His wisdom, He brings our own lives low. And He does that, that we may learn. He does that, so we will quiet our hearts. He does that, so that we can begin to hear a voice. Maybe His voice, in a way that we have not been able to hear it before. When the Lord brings us low. He always has high and glorious purposes in mind when the Lord brings us low. I think of the beautiful verse in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. That's the way God is. That's the way He works in our lives. Isn't it interesting that after Paul makes such a powerful statement as that, such a deep statement, which when I read it, it just leaves me a bit staggered, you know? It is that way. You can't find out God. There's so many things about God that I don't understand. Though I've been a Christian now for 33 years, I still, so many times, I just shut my mouth and am dumbfounded at God and who He is and how He works in my life. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. His ways are past finding out. Isn't it interesting that Paul follows a verse like that with the words, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What else can we do when we see God like that, but simply to submit to Him and to His ways? And that's what we want to do here this morning. We want to submit to the Lord in His ways. Looking in Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll turn there. Just give a little background before we read. Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians. Yes, it's also written to me, and it's also written to you. But the context of the book, it is written to Hebrew Christians, encouraging them to continue in Christ, encouraging them to continue in Christ the better way than types and shadows. You see, in the early days of the early church, there were those believers who lived in Jerusalem who still offered sacrifices on an altar, though they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And Hebrews brings out the beautiful truths endeavoring to draw these Christians away from the types and shadows and fix their hearts so beautifully on the one who was the types and shadows, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These Hebrew Christians have had many trials and testings, and there are more to come. My personal opinion is, this is written just a few years before A.D. 70. I know there's lots of different opinions about that, but that's my opinion. And that in A.D. 70, the Christians that are living in Jerusalem are going to need these words very much. So they've had some trials and testings, and there are more to come. We can see that clearly if you want to just flip back to chapter 10 for a moment. Verse 35. Paul says these words, and that's my opinion on who wrote this book. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't lose your confidence in God. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. There's more to come, isn't there? We are not of they who draw back unto perdition, but we are they who believe unto the saving of the soul. This is the context of what we're going to be looking at today. The next portion of Scripture is the heroes of the faith, which we're not going to read all of that, but I just want to give you a little bit of the flow of the context. All of these heroes of the faith were beset by trials and testings. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and on down the line it goes. Think about their lives. Every one of them was beset with testings and trials. This is the Lord. God purifies us through testings and trials. When God brings us low, He does beautiful things in our hearts and our lives. I think of Moses, whose vision was clear to lead his people and save them from the Egyptians. And God had in mind for Moses to lead his people and save them from the Egyptians. But the Lord brought him low before He brought him high to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Each one of these heroes of the faith were beset with trials and testings in their lives. Would we expect we are of the household of faith to have anything less than that ourselves? We shouldn't. It won't be that way. Yet they continued to press on in faith, and that's exactly what God wants us to do. I want us to notice the positive flow of these verses. I think sometimes when you just take a little portion of Scripture out of a book of the Bible, it stands by itself, you don't really see exactly what God is saying. And I think that many times in my own experience, as I've studied these verses here in Hebrews chapter 12, where it speaks about the disciplines of the Lord, we tend to look at that and think, ooh, that's difficult, that's tough, that's hard, and all of those things. But really, when you look at the flow of the context, it's a very positive flow. And that's the way I'd like to look at it this morning. So, we will be focusing on God's disciplines, but I would like to look at the context here from verse 1 following to see the positive nature of these verses. God says to us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." These are people that have gone on before us. These are people who have been tried before us. These are people who have been purified before us. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And may I say, brothers and sisters, that when the Lord brings His people low, when the Lord brings discipline into our lives, those are the things that He is after. He's wanting to get rid of the weights. He's wanting to purify. He's wanting to deal with that sin that doth so easily beset us. He is wanting to strengthen those things which are weak in our lives. You say, well, that's not the way that I would strengthen things that are weak in somebody's life. That's not the way I would do it. Yes, I know. In our natural reasonings, we can think of better ways for God to strengthen those things and meet the needs that are in our lives. But sometimes God chooses to bring us low and purify us through trials and testings. And these are beautiful things. Wherefore, brothers and sisters, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now that's what God is after in all of our lives. And here we are sitting here in this auditorium this morning, maybe 300 of us. Are there weights in our lives? Weights, you say? Yes, weights. Something that is slowing me down. Let us lay it aside, God says. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's what it's all about. We're in a race. There's a finish line. At the end of this life that we live here on this earth, there's a finish line. It's a glorious finish line. It's not like any other finish line you've ever seen. There's a finish line. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. This is the context of the chastisement that God brings upon His people at times. Interesting. You say, is that right? Well, if you stop and think about it, it is right. What about a runner? What about a physical runner? What is he going to do? Is he just going to sit there on the bench and let the weeks go by before the marathon day that's coming? Is that what He's going to do? No, He's going to prepare. He's going to trim things down. He's going to get rid of the weight that He doesn't need. He's going to deal with whatever He has to deal with so that when He puts His foot on that starting line, He's ready to go. That's what God does to us as we run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now this is all in the context of the disciplines of the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we need to keep our eyes. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Weary? Faint? Yes. We get weary sometimes. And we can faint in our minds. While we run this race, we can do that. While we run this race and God tries to bring us low to trim off something in our life, or trim off some things in our life so that we can run that race, so that we can finish our course. Sometimes we get weary and faint in our mind. And so God says, look at Him. Look at Jesus. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. And then He reminds us, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And of course we know that our Lord Jesus Christ did. He did. He resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And then we come to verse 5. We begin to see God commanding us concerning His disciplines. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation. And isn't it so in our own lives how easily we forget the exhortation that I'm going to read? We forget it. We get our eyes on circumstances and we forget the exhortation, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, my daughter, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Now here we begin to see God commanding us. Here's His command. Are you being brought low by God? Don't despise it. Don't despise the circumstances that are coming your way. Don't do it. You say, it's not God's chastening, it's this person, or it's that person, or it's this circumstance, or it's that circumstance. No, you don't understand. You don't understand God's heart and what He's after. The beautiful things that He wants to do in our lives. God says, when I bring you low, do not despise My chastening. And it's easy for us to do that, isn't it? It's easy for me to do that. Don't despise My chastening, God says. And don't faint when I rebuke you. God does rebuke us, doesn't He? God does do that. And God says, don't faint in your heart when I do that. Don't do it. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That word receive is this, it's this picture, you know. He chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. You know, that's a little different than how we would see the trials and the testings that come our way. You know, sometimes we just think, you know, enough, you know, get them off of me. And I wish they'd go somewhere else. But it's God reaching out His arms and receiving us. That's what it is. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Our natural tendency is to murmur when the disciplines of the Lord are upon us. Our natural tendency is to get discouraged when the disciplines of the Lord are upon us. Our natural tendency is to blame others for God's disciplines upon us. And you may say, well, there is somebody in there. That doesn't matter. We must see beyond those things. And besides, did not all of us say, I want to be corrected by my brothers and my sisters? Did not we all say that? But yet, our natural tendency is to murmur. Our natural tendency is to get discouraged. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But let us look deeper. God calls us to look deeper in these matters of discipline. God would say, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Let us look up into the face of Almighty God as trials and troubles come our way. Why? He has high and holy purposes for everything that He brings our way. God wants to teach us. You see, that's what chastisement means. You know, we, in our mind, we get the idea that it's just a spanking. That's it. That's all it is. Well, yes, sometimes it is just that, a spanking. But if you look up that word, it means so much more than that. It is the loving, nurturing, disciplining, instructing, guiding, correcting hand of a loving God. That's what it is. We need to learn from it. He has high and holy purposes in mind. Verse 7 goes on to say, if ye endure chastening. Now, as I look at that, that means that there's a possibility that we won't endure chastening. And I'm reminded of the illustration that Brother Keith gave many years ago about, you know, God's classrooms and how He puts you in a class and you have to go through the class. Then you take a test at the end of the class, and if you fail the test, then you go through the class again. But if you pass the test, then you go on to the next classroom. I'm afraid I've been in some of those classes more than once. But if ye endure chastisement, chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And it seems to me that God is saying through these verses, you are a very special individual. If God, in His love and wisdom, brings you low. Say, well, I don't like it when God brings me low. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But the point here is, a loving, caring God puts His attention on me when He brings me low. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all, A-L-L, all are partakers. That means we better get this whole thing figured out because all are partakers. Every one of us. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, it's a greater grief. It is a worse plight if you never receive any spanking from God. It is a worse plight if you go through your life and nothing ever happens to bring you low and purify your heart and cause you to take a look at who you are and where you are. And some of your needs. See, that's what God wants to do. That's what He wants to do in my life. That's what He wants to do in your life. In each and every one of our lives. Then the Lord moves in verse 9 and begins to use a human illustration, one that we can all understand very well. Parents and children alike. We can all understand this next verse. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. I want you to picture that now. Some of you children, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to be chastised by your father or your mother. When you were being chastised, you gave them reverence. Didn't you? You brought your heart low as you sat there in that room and your father or your mother sat across from you and began to admonish you about a need in your life. You brought your heart low and reverenced them. That's the picture. And see, that's what God would say to us. That posture. We need that posture. Oh, somehow, God could help us all to just be a little boy or a little girl sitting on the edge of the bed, talking to our Father, knowing that there's some need in my life and opening my heart to my Father's words. See, that's the picture that God is trying to get to all of us when He brings us low. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits and live? You know, I thought about that little phrase, the Father of spirits. Can we, with the eye of faith this morning, can we look beyond our circumstances and see the face of our Father, the Father of spirits? The Father of spirits of just men made perfect by the blood of Christ. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto Him? And God doesn't stop there. And live. And live! In other words, go on in the life that God has deposited in our heart, in our lives. Shall we much not rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. You know, I thought about that. That whole picture. What our fathers did for us. What our Father in heaven does for us at times. Can we look beyond the circumstances and see the face of our Father? The Father of spirits. I thought of this verse. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. That's what God would say to us. There are things that God wants us to learn. God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to direct us. God is not trying to destroy us. God is not trying to derail us. God is not trying to wipe this church away. God is wanting to direct our steps and purify us. Shall we not rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He, the Father of spirits, for our profit. Why? That we might be partakers of His holiness. Oh, that God would give us grace to endure chastening, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And I want you to notice what it says there. It doesn't just say, straighten out your life. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Change your shoes. It's deeper than that. His holiness. That's what God is after. His holiness. You see, when God brings us low and He brings chastisement our way, direction, correction, yes, some humiliation, He's after our hearts. That's what He's after. That we might be partakers of His holiness. I like that. The expanded word of righteousness comes in here so beautifully. The expanded word of righteousness. What is righteousness? Conformity to God's will in purpose, in thought, and in action. Now that's where God wants to bring me. That's where God wants to bring each one of us. Every time He brings difficult things into our lives, His desire is to conform us to His will in thought, in purpose, and in action. That's what God is after. Resulting in right living and right standing with God. Now, verse 11. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. That's a fact. Chastening is not exciting. When God brings us low, we are, in fact, we're low. We feel low. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. When God brings us low. No chastening for the present seemeth joyous. No way. But grievous. That's okay. Right? That's okay. Remember the little boy sitting on the edge of the bench? Or on the edge of the bed? The little girl? No, it's not joyous. Is it, children? Nobody's excited when they're sitting on the edge of the bed waiting for mom or dad to come in the room because you know you've done something wrong or you need a direction or a correction. That's not an exciting time. It's grievous. I've never seen a smile on a child's face yet, have you? But it's okay. See? That's okay. It's okay if you're sad. When God brings you low, He wants to get our attention. He wants us to open up our heart. He wants us to listen. He wants us to receive instruction. He wants us to be directed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, look what he said. Nevertheless, afterward. Yes, there is an afterward. There's always an afterward. And sometimes we fail to remember that. There is an afterward. And the afterward is beautiful and it's sweet and it is joyous. And again, going back to the human illustration which God uses in this text right here, we know that's so. Afterward, there is joy, there's clearing, there's direction. And it's a good thing. Yes, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And God says to me, there's some things I want you to learn. You have to listen, or you won't learn them. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to direct you. I'm trying to correct you. There's some things I want you to learn. But afterward, oh my, afterward. And you know, when you've been a Christian for 33 years, you know, you can say, afterward, it's coming. Yes, afterwards will come. And I will learn my lessons. And I will be a different person afterward. Because it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in my life. See? And I want that. We want that. I know we do. Afterward. I thought about the rewards. You know, there's a lot of rewards in this chapter. Glorious finish line. That's one of the rewards of chastisement. Life everlasting. That's one of the rewards of chastisement. His holiness. Anybody want any of that? That's one of the rewards. Peaceable fruit. That's one of the rewards. Clear direction for my feet. That's one of the rewards. Healing. That's one of the rewards. Yes, there is an afterwards in chastisement. Verse 12. Wherefore? Wherefore? Because of all that I've already said to you. The rewards, what I'm doing, how I'm working, what my goal is for your life, God says. Wherefore,
Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees.
Why would God say such a thing as that? We all know the answer. Because there is a tendency in every one of us, in the midst of trials that come our way, to just to let your hands hang down, which is an outward picture of something inside of the heart, by the way. You know, this is the outward picture. But God is not talking about these hands or these knees, which are feeling feeble and weak. God is speaking about things inside of our hearts, as He admonishes us here in these verses and says, don't be discouraged. Don't go there. Don't blame things on somebody else. I'm trying to get your attention. Lift up the hands which hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet. In other words, see where God wants you to go. You see, because God is directing us. You know, we see these things so clearly when we see it in the context of father and mother and children. We see it very clearly, you know, in the heart of a father. He's wanting to make a straight path for that child's feet. And he knows in his heart whether he got through to the child's heart by where the feet go when they're done. See, he knows. Oh my, look at the straight path for those feet. You know, that child has received the direction and the correction that I wanted them to get. And I can tell by the straight path of their feet. God says to us, make straight paths for your feet. In other words, I want you to change the direction of your going. I'm trying to get your attention on something. And it's different for every one of us. You know, I am who I am. You are who you are. We all have our different responsibilities. God chastises us in many different ways. We all know, you know, when God is done, we know that's where God is trying to direct my feet. And so the admonition is, warning, warning. You can get discouraged and miss the whole thing. You can lose heart and miss what I'm trying to do in your life. That's what I see in these verses. There is a possibility that my fainting knees will continue to be fainting knees. There is a possibility that my hanging hands will continue to be hanging hands. And look at the last part of verse 13. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now that's a sobering little verse there. And what God is saying there is, Denny, there's something lame in your life. Are you going to let it be healed? Or are you going to let it be turned out of the way? You going to just keep crutching along? How long? How long? There's something lame in your life. See, God is admonishing us in these verses to open our hearts to whatever He wants to speak to us. You're who you are. I'm who I am. We are who we are as a church. God wants to direct our steps. He's jealous for His name. He's jealous for His name. And then I came upon verse 14, and you know, I always stopped in verse 13 before. It's interesting how verses take on new meaning to you each time. But as I pondered and meditated on these verses, many times God admonishes us through people, doesn't He? He corrects us through people. And a lot of times, we don't like that. It goes down a bit hard. Sometimes we reject it. We don't receive it very well. I mean, that's reality, isn't it? It's not our theology. Our theology says, brothers and sisters, I want to be a part of this fellowship. I need you. If you see anything in my life, please come and tell me about it. Now that's the theology. And we all believe that. But in reality, it goes down pretty hard sometimes. And I'm not rebuking you. I'm just sharing my own heart. Sometimes it goes down a little hard. But brothers and sisters, we do believe that, don't we? If you see anything in my life, please come and tell me. And I would say that this morning to all of you. If you see anything in my life, please come and tell me. And by the way, if you write me a letter, put your name on it. Sometimes people write me letters, but they don't put their name on it. That hurts me. But put your name on it. If you see anything in my life, please come and tell me. I want to know. I'll try to swallow. I will. I want to learn. But the fact is, sometimes it goes down a little hard. So God says, follow peace with all men. It's good. See the context there? Follow peace with all men. That means I can't be striving inside of my heart with my brother or my sister who has come alongside and said, would you look at this? Would you take a look at this in your life? Follow peace with all men. And holiness. Holiness? His holiness. Holiness? Peaceable fruit of righteousness. Follow peace with all men. And let His holiness and His peaceable fruits be wrought in your life. For without these things, no man shall see the Lord. Wow. And then we're going to go one more verse yet. One more verse. Looking diligently. Where are we supposed to be looking? Not at her, not at him, not at them, at him. Remember? Looking diligently. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You want to walk through the chastisement, the disciplines of the Lord? Looking diligently. That word diligent, that's a strong word. It's a purposeful word. It's a word with action to it. It's a word of determination. And sometimes when you're in the midst of a trial or a discipline from the Lord, sometimes when God brings us low, it's not easy to lift up your head
and look. But you need to look to Him. Because He will interpret everything that's going on. See? He'll interpret it. He'll tell you what you're supposed to understand. Sometimes us men, us women, we don't get it all right. Sometimes we don't say it all right. But He says it so sweetly, so beautifully, so perfectly, so lovingly, so clearly, right to our heart. Looking diligently. Why must you look so diligently? Lest any man or woman fail of the grace of God. That can happen when there's discipline coming your way. It happens all the time. It can happen. I can fail of the grace of God. I can lose my way. But look, he goes on. Lest any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, and I thought about that in my own life. You know, God warns us. Don't get bitter. When chastisement is coming your way, don't get bitter. You can. We can. We can get our eyes on all the circumstances. We can walk around for days with our hands hanging down. We can have our eyes on people and not on the Lord. And we can get bitter. And that bitterness can destroy us. And it can destroy our family. And it can destroy this church. It can do that. I wonder how many church splits could have been stopped. With just a verse like that. Warning. Look unto Jesus. He's the interpreter of your life. He's the interpreter of the circumstances that are coming into your life. Look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't look at this man, or that group, or that church. No, look beyond that. Look up into the face of the Father of spirits and live. Let any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, it happens. I'm telling you, it happens all the time. Warnings, words which God speaks to my own soul. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Verse 25 says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, because of that, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Yes. In other words, let God shake you in every way that He needs to, so that the things which can be shaken can be gone. And the things which cannot be shaken, they will stand. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. In closing, I think it would be good just to look at a couple of verses in James 1.
in James chapter 1 and verse 2. This word temptation that James uses here is not the temptation like I'm walking down the street and there's evil out there and I'm tempted by that evil. That's not the word here. But rather, it's trials and troubles and disciplines and chastenings that the Lord brings in to my life. And God says to me, Denny, count it all joy. Wow. Count it all joy. Lord, such a standard. Count it all joy. Don't you see the other side? Don't you see the afterward? Don't you see what I want to do? Don't you see how I want to purify you? Don't you see the beautiful things I want to do in your life? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, her perfecting work in your life. Why? That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, hey, I'll take that! Yes, Lord, perfect! Yes, Lord, entire! Yes, Lord, wanting nothing! I'll take it, Lord! Give me a whole bucket of that! Or a truckload! Yes, but that perfect wanting nothing doesn't just come in bucket loads dumped on us out of heaven. It comes through testings and trials and troubles and corrections from the Lord. That's how they come. And then verse 5. And this is probably one of the most important verses, verse 5. You know, often we use verse 5 all by itself, and I do too, and I don't think it's wrong to use it all by itself. But look at the context of verse 5. In light of all that we've said already here today, do you lack wisdom? Are you trying to figure this whole thing out? Are you trying to get your head on straight and what's going on in your life? Are you confused? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I mean, he's not even going to scold you for it. He's not going to say, you should know that. He's going to lovingly come near to you and open up the eyes of your understanding and say, see there, Denny? That's what I'm trying to get through to your heart. Right there. Oh, Lord! Wow! Thank you! I see! Well, I thought, and it seemed like... No, Denny. This is what I'm trying to do in your life. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But now here's the test. The next verse is the test, and then I'm done. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, you can't come like this. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord with that kind of a heart. You can't come like this. God's not going to do anything. You'll just stay like this. Lift up the hands which hang down and strengthen those feeble knees and look unto the Lord and lift up your eyes from whence cometh your help and rise up in your heart in faith and know that God is on His throne and He's a loving Father and He's watching over your life and He has good in mind and He wants to purify you and make you something beautiful. He wants to conform you into the image of His Son. And don't you know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose? Lift up the eyes of your heart and in faith cry out to God and say, God, I believe that You love me and I believe that You're watching over me and I believe that You have Your best interest in mind for me and for my family and for my church. Now, God, give me the wisdom that I need to see through this thing so I can learn what I need to learn so that I can be more holy so that You can make me what I want to be. That's what God is after. But oh, so many times, it's kind of like this. Maybe even it's been that way while you listened to the sermon this morning. Oh no, here he comes again. Lift up the eyes of your heart. Look beyond whatever your circumstances are and see the face of the Father of spirits. Well, how does that song say, behind every cloudy providence there is His smiling face? It's there. We know it. We know it in our theology. But oh, I don't always get it in my reality. Pray for me. And I'll learn the lessons that God wants me to learn. Because I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want to grow. I want to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God for every word of exhortation that has come my way. I want to get what I can get out of it all and grow. Amen? God bless.
Well, it wasn't just for Brother Denny. It was for me too. Thank you, Brother Denny, for sharing from what God is doing in your heart. I believe we can all identify with that. Amen? And you quoted the verse just before you sat down that the Lord laid on my heart. How I look at my circumstances so much determines how I respond. Do I really believe that God controls all circumstances and all events in my life? Do I really believe He does that? And then you quote it, Romans 8:28, to the child of God. And I confess, I don't always do it right, but I want to. That's where I want to go. And by the grace of God, my heart is encouraged. But you know, God does have to bring us low to get our attention many times. I can share a personal testimony, and it'd be a lot more than once. You know, there's a danger when we're a Christian for a long time to miss it. And say, well, I've got it together. That can be a danger. And we no longer have the humility and the grace to humble our hearts and be broken before the Lord. I've been a Christian 32 years now. Brother Denny said, I've been a Christian 33 years. But we never become so mature and so grown up that we never need God's hand of chastening in our lives. And yes, sometimes God has to use methods that may seem a little harsh because of my hardness of heart and my spiritual pride or my puffed up estimation of myself. And oh, I can see God needs to discipline her or him, but I just don't see my own heart too well. So I just thank God this morning. God is loving us. He is chastening us. May we be exercised thereby unto a peaceable, beautiful fruit as an individual and as a congregation, that God may purify my life, purify the body of Christ here at Charity Christian Fellowship. Let's not look out there and compare ourselves among ourselves to those out there and say, oh, well, we're better than them. We'll miss it. We'll miss it. And God will have to take us through again. Amen. I could share a lot more, but I just think it'd be a blessing to just open it up here this morning for a few minutes here, if God has laid something on your heart to share. Raise your hand, get a microphone to you. Brothers or sisters, raise your hand high. Mind the Lord. Just speak that which is laid upon your heart of God. We can edify one another here. Hand over here. Yes, Glendon.
Yes, I just wanted to share this morning that I was so blessed, Denny, by your message. I shared last Sunday, I think, on God working in my life. In the area of just yielding to Him, being some chastenings that He's allowed in my life that I have not been able to come to an understanding of. But as you just shared Hebrews 12 with us, Denny, I felt like God opened the way so clear for me to understand where I'm going wrong. And I thank God for it. I'm not looking at the chastenings that He brings into my life as love. In my thinking, all I can see is an angry God. And I'm realizing I need to allow God to reshape my thinking of chastenings, spankings, whatever it be. And maybe I'm associating two different types of love that maybe I need to think about there. But then also just the thing of leaving roots of bitterness spring up and trouble others and defile, spring up and trouble me and defile others too, has been some of the things that I felt like that I see more clearly, that I need to keep my relationships clear so that God can, that the grace of God doesn't fail me. And so often it has in those areas. So I'm encouraged this morning. I feel like God is working in my heart toward in the areas of yieldedness, although it seems like it's a very strong root that God has needed to deal with many times over. And I feel like the lessons have had to come time and time again, more because I have not yielded to it as I ought to have. And so I thank God for it this morning. I feel like my way is more clear, because now I'm able to point a finger to the needs and more directly. I don't feel like I'm in the clouds any longer. So thank you, Denny. May God Praise bless God. You.
Amen. Is the other microphone somewhere else? Hand up front here, Brother Emmanuel. Hand in the back. Go ahead, Brother Emmanuel. Up front here. Okay, he's not quite ready. In the back, Brother Joe. Praise God.
Yes, I just want to comment on the first message on spiritual warfare. I don't know if you recall, back in the first Gulf War, early 90s, I was in the military during that time, the Air Force. And Brother Rodney, you made that analogy of the Air Force being like a prayer force. That is true. If you remember during that war was won primarily by air power. The United States went in and did all their bombing and it drove them back. And there was a little ground war afterwards. but the primary battle was won by the Air Force. And I just agree with that, that we, as we labor in prayer, that it's mysterious. I don't quite understand it, but it's a spiritual battle. And recently over at Living Hope, we had an all-night prayer watch. And we went in with the intention of praying to break the strongholds of Reading. We're reaching out there. We're going every other Wednesday to share the gospel, to meet people. Well, the Lord did not allow us to pray for Reading until 6 o'clock in the morning. Even though we started at 10 the previous night, the Lord had to break our hearts. And it was amazing what God did during that time. And I just was blown away by the whole evening that the Lord was using that whole night to prepare our hearts, to break us, to get us ready for confession, to have clean hands. And as we went into that that last hour of prayer there from 6 in the morning to 7, it was beautiful, and we did damage to Satan's kingdom. So I just wanted to share that with you all.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Yes, to prepare the soldiers first. Yeah. Others? Emmanuel, you prepared?
Yeah, I want to say amen to the message this morning. Thank you, Brother Denny, for sharing that. And I want to say I'm at that place of need also. That's where I'm at. I need God's grace, and I also need those disciplines and God's grace to walk through them. I read a quote by Oswald Chambers this week, which really blessed me as we go through some of this difficult time here. I thought I would read that to you here. What is my dream of God's purpose of my life? His purpose is that I depend on Him and on His power now. If I can stay in the middle of the turmoil, calm and unperplexed, that is the end of the purpose of God. God is not working toward a particular finish. His end is the process. That I see Him walking on the waves, no shore in sight, no success, no goal, just the absolute certainty that it is all right because I see Him walking on the sea. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. I think I see that. I have continued throughout this time to purpose to walk in that way. I've not done it all right, but I do believe it's more important how we walk through these situations than how it all comes out. I was blessed by that one. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. The other microphone somewhere else? Brothers, sisters? Over here, on the brother's side. You can go ahead, brother.
I too was blessed by both messages this morning and how they went together. I was grateful to hear the heart of our missionary, Brother Wes. You know, when you get to hear a man's journal, you get to hear his heart. And I'm challenged anew to pray for him, to lift him up. It seems that the battle becomes so personal and so intense right before a breakthrough. And I almost want to send Wes an email or somehow call him on the phone and encourage him with what God has been encouraging me, and that is, there are things I know about spiritual warfare. But until I do the things that I know, there's no victory. And the thing that God has been impressing upon me is to rejoice in the battle. There's a little tract over on the board there called Praise is Faith in Action. It's a little green tract. And I've read that thing about 10 days in a row now. And the theme of it is rejoice in the battle. Lift your eyes to Jesus and recognize that the war is won in Christ. I can know about rejoicing, but until I cross that line and begin to rejoice, it's not yet a weapon. It's just knowledge. If I want to win a battle, I've got to use the weapon. And I appreciated the teaching on spiritual warfare, and then it led in perfectly to Brother Denny's message. A trial, I believe, brings you down to the basics of spiritual life. When you are in a war, you get very real. You get very desperate. All you care about is what works. Not about what sounds eloquent. Not about what is popular. You want to know what works. And I am learning, and I am humbled to share it. We've talked, some of us, about how long we've been Christians. I'm about 10 years behind Brother Denny and Brother Aaron, 23 years as a Christian. But in looking back over those 23 years, how little of it I have spent rejoicing, fixing my eyes on Jesus and praising Him. I want to understand the battle. I want to understand the mechanics. I want to analyze it. I don't know why. But I want to become more childlike and rejoice in the midst of the battle that Jesus Christ is in control and there's purpose in the trial.
Amen.
And I share that as a confession this morning, but also as a thanksgiving. God is jealous, as we heard. He sees our ignorance, and He's not content to leave us there. He'll introduce us or reintroduce us to a weapon like praise and rejoice, and it just brings brand new faith into our old Christianity, whether it's 23 years or 33 years, that just revives us that God is still saving us. No matter how long we've been saved, He still wants to take us back to the joy of our salvation, to rejoice in Him. Praise His name.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, Brother Irvin.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here this morning, too. I bring you greetings from Buffalo Valley Christian Fellowship this morning. But it's been a blessing to be here and to hear the Word of God being preached. And I want to say amen. I want to walk that way and live that way too. Just felt the Lord pressed on my heart to share a little bit something that happened with me a couple of weeks ago that fit in good with the message this morning. And that was, I was helping a friend of mine. He has a trucking business, and he needed someone to help him to deliver a load for him, so I did it for him. And the way home, I was coming through Harrisburg, and there was construction there, and I was in the left lane, I believe, and I was supposed to be in the right lane, and here a police officer pulled me over and told me that I was in the wrong lane, and kind of gave me a warning, told me that he'll just give me a warning, but he said I need to obey the traffic signs a little bit better. But then he also said that he wants to give me a citation because my trailer is not inspected. He needs to write up a citation for me because my trailer is not inspected. And I said I didn't know that. So I called the guy up that I was driving for. I asked him if he didn't know that his trailer is not inspected, because I went out and looked and there's no sticker there. So he said they passed a new law in January of this year that you don't have to have your trailer inspected. So I went back to the police officer and told him that, and he kind of laughed at me and said that, well, that's not true. I said, well, I don't know, but I said that's what he said. So I gave my phone to him, and him and my boss were talking with each other. And after a while, I went back up in the truck, and after a while he came up and, you know, the police officer came back up to the truck and he said, you know what? He said he's right. He said that. He said, I didn't know that law. But he said he'd rather feel humble now than in front of the judge. And I thought about that, and I never forgot that. I thought, well, that's the way I want to live too. I want to rather be humble now and then in front of the judge.
Hey.
So I just wanted to share that with me. I never forgot. That was a real blessing for me that day. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a hand up here in the middle, brother's side. Remember, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's love. Yes, Daniel.
There's a couple of scriptures that have been coming through my mind this past week. One was, before I was chastened, I went astray. That was David's testimony. Mm-hmm. And I was considering that it fit very well with what the Lord was speaking here this morning. And also, words like, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. You know, that's true of salvation, but it's true of the repenting we do along the way.
Yes.
You know, that's the mercy of God to do that. And also, where Paul says that there was sent unto me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be lifted up above measure. And sometimes we look at the means by which God brings this correction and we try to analyze it. Well, is this of God or is this of the devil? That really doesn't matter so much, because God oftentimes uses even the failures of others where they may be clearly in the wrong. But that's not the point. Maybe the humanity of an authority in our lives or something like that. You know, and how do we respond to that? You know, surely those that were harming and causing suffering to our Lord were instruments of the enemy, and yet they were acting out the determinate foreknowledge of God. You know, they were, and Jesus was able to commit Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously, commit Himself into hands of His Father.
Yes,
so completely. That he could receive this as from the hand of his Father, though it was the powers of darkness trying to do their worst. Mm-hmm. And so let's not try to overanalyze where everything comes from, but relate rightly to it and commit ourselves unto him that judgeth righteously.
Amen. Thank you for that word. We can miss what God would have for us if we try to overanalyze and slot everything out. Yeah. Amen. Yes?
I'd just like to say that if anybody has a doubt in their life about God being not alive in their life, I'll give you a great example. He's alive in my life. Through the trials He's putting me through, it's because He loves me. It's not because He wants to condemn me, put me down, but Satan wants to do that. God isn't that way. Mm-hmm. And I have all the faith and trust in the world. What He's putting me through is for His glory, and that's the glory I want to give Him. And this won't be the last trial, but I have to have faith. I'll get through this one, and He'll build my faith and my patience and my love for Him that I want to be a Christian like God wants me to be. So I thank God, and I thank Denny for that beautiful sermon this morning. Thank you very much.
Praise God. All right, thank you for sharing. A living sacrifice on the altar. You know, a living sacrifice is one that's alive, and we continually choose whether we stay on the altar. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He's looking for a living sacrifice. But a sacrifice. And so daily and continually we choose. And then there's times, you know, we're walking in the light and the best of our ability that we had before the Lord, but the Lord says, I want to take you deeper. I see you're lame, Brother Aaron. I don't want to let that lameness just go on. It's time to send a trial to deal with that. And then do I stay on the altar? Oh, how we wiggle and squirm. Can I just let God be God and have His way in my life? I don't just want the theology of, if you see anything in my life, please come and talk to me. I want the reality. Can we all say that? We want that reality. Our hearts are there. We don't want to just play church. Amen. I thank God for what He's doing. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.